You're listening to Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon, and it's time now for music. This is, we'll say it here, building on considerable evidence, the greatest living Wagnerian tenor alive. His name is Jonas Kaufmann, and he's currently in New York, starring in the Metropolitan Opera's production of Parsifal. This year is the bicentennial of Richard Wagner's birth, and Kaufmann is using that occasion to ask listeners who may have turned away from Wagner at some point to give his music another listen. Jonas Kaufmann's new album draws from across the composer's entire career, and it's simply entitled Wagner.
For me, it sounds almost like an addiction, because I grew up with Wagner. My grandfather was playing it on the piano, all the vocal scores, and trying to even sing all the parts through. So I remember sitting next to the piano and just listening to all that, and it was very, very normal for me.
This exquisite recording, you've done 11 different works here from Wagner's career, and it features music from the beginning, from the opera Renzi in 1842. You sing the part of Siegfried more than 30 years later. Talk to me about how he changed as a composer.
Well, Wagner changed very much, almost like every great composer. They were born maybe being a genius, but they had to discover their special style and everything. And what you do as a young artist, you try to imitate the others. His first operas, they're very much in the traditional style of now comes an aria, mm-hmm. now comes a duet, mm-hmm. now comes a trio, here mm-hmm. comes another aria. From then on, he started to, like we say, to compose through. So it's the flow of the music never ends. There's not one number, and then there is a little gap, and then comes the next number. And Rienzi is, again, the last example of having a real aria. And after that, you really have to take a sharp knife and to cut out from bar, I don't know, from bar 340 to bar 620 and call it an aria. Between the Rienzi and the Ring cycle, he really created something completely new.
Dass er mein Vater nicht ist, wie fühl ich mich doch so froh. Nun erst gefällt mir der frische Wald, nun erst lacht mir der lustige Tag, da der garstige von mir schien.
Do you think that it helps to be German, to know German, to grow up listening to it? You know, you're talking about having it sung into your ears as you're a child at your grandfather's knee. Does that give you, do you think, more richness and artistry in singing these lyrics?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think very important, obviously, is in every language, no matter what you perform, that you actually know exactly what the real meaning is or what maybe alternative meanings are. Because when we have a production with several Germans, we always have discussions on what these words actually mean. Because Wagner had a tendency to actually invent things. He invented words because he had these ideas that obviously he had always the rhymes, so he always tried to make two phrases fit to each other perfectly. And then sometimes he just wouldn't find the adequate word to finish a phrase. So therefore he invented combination words.
I hope I won't be putting you on the spot, but is it possible for you to give me an example of some invented Wagnerian phrase that he uses? Do you have any of those on this album?
Let me think on the album. There was one in the Siegfried scene. He's talking about his mother, how his mother would have probably looked like. And he says, der Rehhindin gleich.
Ja.
Well, re is a deer, and hindin I never heard. I know hundin, which is a female dog. So I thought, wow, a dog, deer, what is that? And then I looked it up, and I found that hindin is actually a very, very old word for a female elk. So he combined it. He said, well, it has maybe the statue and the proud figure of an elk, but also the beauty of a deer. The only problem is no one in the audience will understand when you sing that phrase what he actually means.
Unless you think of old fairy tales. I remember from my childhood where, you know, the deer, the stag, and sometimes called the hind in English, H-I-N-D. There you,
okay.
There you have it.
Maybe, oh, yeah, exactly.
Maybe we've dreamed this up. I don't know. People will let us know. I'm speaking with tenor Jonas Kaufmann. His new album is called Wagner. And I think a lot of people are less familiar with the non-operatic works. Please tell me about those. I'm going to mess up the name. Wesendonck Lieder?
Wesendonck, exactly. There was a lady called Mathilde Wesendonck, a married lady, who they had kind of a relationship. Nobody knows exactly.
Infatuation.
He would say probably was his girlfriend. So she wrote some poems, and he composed it. There's one song called Im Treibhaus, in the glass house, when he describes the suffering of this plant, even though it has warmth, it has the sun, it gets watered and everything, but it's homesick, which is kind of weird for a plant. But if you then think of the situation of Wagner, who was in kind of exile. In Switzerland at that time, you can understand why he was so attracted to these ideas.
Why was Wagner in Switzerland?
He had some troubles. Besides what we all know, he had a tendency of anti-Semitic ideas, but also he was so extremely self-confident. When you read the very first opera, I think it was the Feen that or Liebesverbot he wrote, and he sent it to theaters, and they sent it back and said, no, we're not interested. Mm. And he was so furious that he wrote again, and he said, you're making such a big mistake because I'm one of the greatest composers of all times. That's been said by an unsuccessful 18-year-old want-to-be composer. So he didn't make friends so much with all his ideas and habits and everything.
The whole notion of the anti-Semitism that is still difficult, have those wounds basically healed?
Well, it's difficult to let the wounds heal because we're not only talking about Wagner and his time. We also talk about the abuse of that music during the Third Reich. But it's a pity, I have to say. It's really a pity. I totally understand that, for instance, Holocaust victims never, ever want to listen again to this music because it reminds them on all the terrible things they combined with this music. But it's one of the greatest composers of all times. Unfortunately, now that I just mentioned that he said it himself, 200 years later, we have to confess it's true.
Jonas Kaufmann. His new album is simply titled Wagner. And Jonas Kaufmann's currently starring in Parsifal at the Met. And if you can't make it to New York, they'll have a live broadcast in hundreds of movie theaters around the world on March the 2nd. Ekelte mich der holde Sack. Von der Verheißung lügnerisch klang, And for Saturday, that's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. Check out our weekly podcast. Search for Weekends on All Things Considered on iTunes or on the NPR smartphone app. Click on Programs and scroll down. Or you can follow me on Twitter at NPR Jackie Leiden. We're back on the radio tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great night.